I'm going to get a little comfortable here today. I'm going to take this jacket off. Because he's worthy. We can't even do this. We can't even finish strong if we don't recognize why it is we're able to even do that. It's because of him, his grace, and his mercy, and his loving kindness why we get to do this. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm so glad to be able to see each and every one of you here this morning in the house of the Lord. It is always a blessing to be here. So we're going to jump right in. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father God, thank you. Lord, thank you for bringing us through another week. Lord, we may not have gotten everything we wanted, but Lord, you gave us everything we need in this moment. And so, Lord, if we're carrying anything in here that we didn't lay down during praise and worship, that we didn't lay down while we got to greet those that are around us, while we didn't lay down when we had the opportunity to pray and give what you have given back to us, we ask, Lord, that we lay it down before you here and now. Lord, that your word that is delivered will take root inside of us and bear fruit for your glory and for your edification, Lord. Be with every heart and with every mind that is here, that they can do and apply that which you have said. Lord, be with your son, your servant here in this space. Let the words you say not be my words, but your words. The meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, and that your name is glorified even in your son. And this we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. So this week, we're going to continue the thought from last week, and that is to finish strong. So let's recap for those that may not have been here, those that may have forgotten what we discussed last week. So what does it mean to finish strong? To finish strong is to actualize the potential that God has placed within us to be, do, and go. In order to do that, we must be completely surrender our mission for his mission. We can't do both his will and our will at the same time. We know what's on the line. There are souls that hang in the balance. And if we don't do our part, they can be lost. So what are our obstacles? Our obstacles come in the form of weight, sin, and ourselves. So you may be asking, what is a weight? A weight, once again, is anything that would distract, deceive, and or discourage you. They come in two forms. There are external weights, the things that are outside of us, and the internal weights, the things on the inside, the fear and the doubt, the worry that we must overcome. Know these things, including sin, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead. To sin again is to transgress God's law. These two things don't have any power except we give them power. God will not place anything on you that you cannot bear. Amen. So that's where we were last week. To recognize those things that will hold us back from the potential that God has placed within us, so that this acorn here will become the forest that God has designed and created it to be. So the question is, how can we then finish strong? We'll go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 to help us with this. So those that are turning in your Bibles, I'll give you a moment. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. If you are swiping, go ahead and get your phone out, your favorite Bible app, and meet me there, or you can see it on the screen as well. And it reads this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So these verses have us look to Christ and remember the fact that he finished his race strong. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured everything with patience. And now he is super exalted, so that every name must confess the name of Jesus as the only name by which salvation can be through. So know this, that this is warfare. This is warfare in your mind. Again, weight and sin have no power except you give them power. So in the times where you are faced with a decision on whether I'm going to do what I want or what the Spirit leads, you have the choice on which way you will go. You choose to ignore the Spirit of God every time we concede to the weight and the sin that easily besets us. The key word there, easily, it's not hard for it to beset us. It's not hard for it to derail the work that God is doing in us. So we must know and have our minds rooted firmly in Christ in order to overcome our weight and sin. First Peter says this: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So he will settle us. So one question that ran through my mind is, where are you rooted? Are you even rooted? Am I rooted, established in Christ? He said if we endure these afflictions, that he will perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read 18, verses 18 through 23. Some of you may be aware of this. This is the parable of the sower. Who's heard of the parable of the sower? Somewhat familiar of it? Dana? Okay, we're going to go over it here together. For those that may not be familiar with it, and see how this all fits together. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 18, reads here, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heard the word, and anon, immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. So where are you rooted? Every one of us are one of these four grounds. But I want to say this here too. All of these grounds are good ground. What? What do you mean they're all good ground? All right, okay, watch this. The other three grounds are good ground that has lied dormant for a long period of time. So either stones fall to it and become hard, or thorns grow up in it, and you have more cares of the things of this world. So let's go through these four types of ground. First, we have the wayside. What is the wayside? That is the one that hears the word and doesn't understand it. There are some people here over the next 2 weeks are not at the point yet where they'll understand this message. It's not ready. It's not time for them yet. And so it will go away. I pray it's nobody here in this group. I pray no one is the wayside. I pray everyone will at least be able to have some root of this and not just cast it aside. That just goes to show that the weight and the sin have taken so much root, it has hardened your heart to the things of God. It has hardened your heart so that you're only concerned with your mission, your goals, and your ambitions. And that's okay for right now. We pray by the end of this that you will transition to new ground. So next we have this heart of stone. What is this? This is the one that hears the word, that receives it with joy, and when it grows, what happens? When persecution comes. Persecution comes in many ways, amen? Whether you lose your job, whether a relationship is fractured, persecution comes in a lot of ways. And those, in the beginning, you're like, yes, I'm for it. And then you start doing it. You're on the right path. You're on the right train. But then something comes. And then you fall away. The heart of thorns is next. This is the one that hears the word. Again, they receive it. However, they only care about the things of this world. They care about their blessing, their favor, their time, money, being great in this world. And that would derail you from reaching the full potential that Christ has put within you. And then we have good ground. This is the one that will hear it, will understand it, will apply it, and will bear fruit in his season. This is where we all ought to be and all ought to be striving for, is good ground. This is the one that is actually performing the potential that God has placed within them. They are being who God created them to be. They are doing the things which God has created for them to do. And they are in the places that God has set for them and are bearing fruit in those areas and showing those that are around them on how to do the same thing. So I want to give you this admonition from Hosea he writes, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Right now, this is the time that he has appointed for us to break up the fallow ground of our hearts, for us to have the good ground so that his seed can be firmly planted in and that we can bear fruit unto his name. So then the question becomes, how do we break up this fallow ground? How do we do it? God will use the spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines is what God will use to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. In particular, the inward disciplines. And what are they? Meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. So let's back up. Let's go through each one of these here for a moment. What is meditation? How many people meditate in any form or fashion? Amen. Good. Well, if you don't, it's really simple. It's not what you would come, what society has come to make of meditation. It is not the clear your mind, that whole thing. It's not that. We do not have to sit on a pillow prostrate and, you know, hope that we'll elevate off the floor. That's not meditation. Meditation is actually, instead of emptying our minds, it is filling our minds with the things of God and thinking upon those things. So for me, my time of meditation is in the car. Amen. I love being in the car, especially long drives, because then I have my Apple Music playing, you know, my favorite, my playlist I got going on, and I can think on the things of God. I can get rid of the distractions that have been weighing me down, especially at the job and at home and things of that nature, and just think about how good God is. Think about the things that he has done in my life. And even though everything is not going exactly the way I would want it to be, there's a lot I could be thankful for. And meditation is the way, the times that we get to do that. So whether you're thinking on the things that God is doing in your life or has done in your life, or whether there's a verse that comes to mind and you just sit and ponder it and think about it, and it just takes root inside of you. It's like, how is this applicable to me? That's what meditation is for. Next, we go to prayer. The question was asked earlier today, who believes prayer has power? So I'll ask it again, who believes prayer has power? Amen. Prayer absolutely has power. Christ specifically taught that men should always pray. We should always be in a state of prayer. That doesn't always mean we're like this. Thank you, God. Lord, I need you right now. It doesn't always have to look you bent or kneeled down. You could be in the car, you could be walking along the road, and you can pray. It could be short prayers. God help me. I really want to say something to this person right here because they offended me, but God help me. God help me to think on the things of you. God, I don't want to do this. Or God, I do want to do this. Give me the strength to do it. Prayer can take on many forms. So stop only thinking about praying right here at the altar. That's not all prayer is. And actually, some people only pray when we come to this altar. If you're only praying when we come to this altar, there's a lot of things that you may be missing out on. There's a lot of opportunities that God has placing in front of you that we should be actively engaging in, but if we're not praying with him, if we're not talking with him, how will we know what those things are? one more thing about prayer, and then we'll keep going. Prayer is dialogue. Prayer is not only just me talking. Prayer also looks like, Lord, speak to me. Here I am. Speak to your son. I want to hear from you. I need you right now. I need to know what to do. So speak to me. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. So I'll ask it again. Who knows the power of prayer in this place? Amen. Amen. And then we come to fasting. Ah, fasting. I love fasting. Didn't always love fasting. I do now. You couldn't get me to fast from anything. At all. But there's a blessing, there's power that comes in fasting. Joel 2 talks about, rend not your garments, but rend your heart before the Lord with fasting. This is how we get to rip our heart apart before God. When something so heavy is on us, and we really want God's attention to know, God, I'm serious about this. I'm going to deny myself to hear from you. How many people like fasting? Be honest. How many people like to fast? I thank you for your honesty. We don't like to fast. Why? Because we have to deny ourselves. We have to humble ourselves to fast. You know, some of us right now are thinking about what's the next meal after this dude is talking. Or what are we going to have tomorrow? Oh, I've been looking forward to getting some sushi next week. Man, but we have to deny ourselves from time to time. We have to die. I'm sorry. We have to die. And fasting helps us to kill our flesh so that our spirit, God's spirit, can reign within us. Amen. So if you haven't fasted, I just want to invite you to begin fasting. You can start small. You can start with one meal. Or you can start from fasting from the news. You can fast from television. You can fast from social media. Some people just need to eliminate social media altogether. But that's a different story for a different day. But you can start small. And as you see the effects, as your faith grows, then you can grow in this area as well. And then finally, we have study. Everybody loves study. We all want to go in deep and come up dry when it comes to study. But study helps us put things into perspective. We have to know the whole of God's word to know how to accurately apply it. Some would like to cherry pick one or two verses out of context and give it its own meaning. Study helps us keep God's focus in mind. His focus will always lead us back out to people. So if you ever hear somebody saying something that's against that, oh, if you give, God will open the windows of heaven. If you sow this seed, you sow this $10, God will absolutely in the next week, give you a check for $10,000. So how does that impact going out there and serving the world? How does that, you getting $10,000 because you gave 10, how does that further God's kingdom? So when we know what God's word is for ourselves, we can identify those, like, you got that out of context. You're lying. You're trying to deceive me. You're being a weight right now with how you're butchering that verse. So study helps us to know and understand God's word for ourselves. So if you are not studying the word on your own, I encourage you to do that. Start with a verse you like. So for me, over the last 6 months or so, it has been Ecclesiastes 7:8. What does that mean? What does it mean for me that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof? And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So pick a verse you like. Pick a verse that is applicable to you in whatever situation that you're going through and study it. Pray on it. Meditate upon it. And even fast to know what the understanding is so that it can take root in your heart that you can go and do it. Amen. And also, the last thing that we can do to finish strong, to help us root and ground us in Christ, is one another. Amen. We cannot do this by ourselves. Martin said back in November, this is not a DIY project. And that stuck with me. As a person that loves HGTV and DIY networks and this old house and whatnot, this life is not like that. This life is not like that. Because even those people you see on TV, they had help to do the house or whatever it is that they were building at that time. They had help to do it. They didn't truly do it themselves. So we have one another, whether it's a small group at work that gets together and prays together, that we read the word together, whether you're here in one of our many ministries and those small groups where we get to break the word together and know how I can be praying for you. How can I support you? What do you need from me to help you actualize what you're created to be, what you're created to do, and where you are to go? We need one another. People are our biggest blessing that we have. And that's why we are admonished. I want to read this. This is Hebrews 10. It's not on the slide, but you can look at it later. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many people know we are in the last days? Raise your hand. Every day that goes by, we are getting closer and closer to the end. So that means each and every day we need to be seeking more time to be spending with one another and not less. We have to make it a priority to walk this out with one another. Call them up on the phone. Say, hey, can we go grab lunch? Hey, are you available to do X, Y, and Z? Or let's just talk on the phone. I need some help in this area. So I've been blessed really over the last, man, brother, how long has it been? 2012, 13? Me and Bill right over there. He is an instrumental part of this right here. The time that he took and sacrificed to pour into me, if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't loved me enough to do that, to sacrifice himself for it, I don't know where exactly I would be. And so I know the same is for each and every one of you. It may not be Bill Brown, but it may be XYZ that took the time to love you and care upon you and pour into you and to tell you when you're wrong, when you think you're right, and do it lovingly from God's word. We need that. All of these things together is what will help us to finish strong. So we need one another. We need the disciplines, meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. These are the things that will help us reach the potential that God has placed within us to be, do, and to go. To be, do, and go. And so, the last question we had is, what happens when we fall? It's not always going to be perfect. There's going to be times we choose the weight and the sin that easily besets us. You just strike the right chord on the wrong day, and we're in where we said we shouldn't be. So what happens when that, what do we do at that point? Just three things. First, we must, you guessed it, acknowledge it. You cannot overcome anything you don't acknowledge. You must face the fact, look, I slipped and I fell in this area. If you try to hide it, guess what? God's going to pull it out anyway. So you have a choice. Either you are going to willingly come out with it and say, look, I've done this wrong, or God will bring it out. Oh, you need an example? Okay, cool. I got one for you. David and Bathsheba. David tried to hide that. He had the best cover up. He lied with this man's wife. Like, oh, okay. Come on back home. Go and be with your wife. What's his name? I forgot his name. Uriah the Hittite. Come on back, Uriah. Be with your wife. So it looks like he was the one that fathered that child and not David. When Uriah said, no, I can't do that. My brothers are in this fight. I can't do that. Okay, fine. So he calls his general. He calls Joab and says, go into this battle, get in the heat of it, and then have everybody pull back out. So he dies, Uriah. So he's thinking, oh, I'm good. I got rid of this dude. Now I can make her my wife, and everything will be good. Nope. What happens? Nathan the prophet comes. He gives him a proverb. David says, that man is worthy of death. And what does he say? Thou art the man. You were that man. You did that. So God brought it out. So the best thing we can do first is to acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Psalm 32, this is David reflecting back on what he had done. It says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So we must first acknowledge it. The second thing, you saw it in this verse, is confession. We must confess our sins. 1 John, real famous verse, everybody knows it. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will clean us up. He will clean us up. If we acknowledge it, if we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the last thing is we must forsake it. We must walk away and grow from where we have fallen. Paul says this in Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. we walk away for those things. Yeah, I messed up, but you know what? I have the mission in mind, so I'm going to walk toward this right here. Yeah, I may have fallen, but God, I acknowledge where I fell. I confess it, and God will wipe you off. He will dust you off and say, son, keep walking. Keep pressing toward my mark, toward the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He will help you do it. This is his mission and not mine. It's his mark that I press toward before. And you know why? Because I've been praying. I had been fasting, meditating, and studying. So everything I do is going to point me back toward his mark. Amen. Summary. Let's wrap this whole thing up in a nice pretty bow and deliver it back to you. If you get nothing else, understand this. Once again, to finish strong is to actualize the potential that God has placed within us to be, do, and go. The obstacles we face are weight, sin, and ourselves. In order for us to overcome these obstacles, we must be rooted in Christ. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study, and each other helps us to stay rooted in Christ. And when we fall, it's important that we acknowledge, confess, and forsake it. And so, with that in mind, let's take some action. Choose one day this week to dedicate to fasting and prayer. For me, it will be Wednesday. I want to invite you as we pray regarding the weight and the sin that easily besets us, to know how and where God wants us to be, and God to give us the strength to actually get there. So these are the questions I want us to consider. What is the forest that God sees in me? You have to know what the mission is in order to get there. What steps do I need to take to get there? What are my obstacles? Who can support and pray for me? Who can I be praying for and supporting? When will I begin? And when will I reevaluate? And so you don't have to write all that down. The slides are available on the Faith Life app, as well as I believe in writing things down. Things become more permanent when you write things down. So here's what I have done. I have created this Finish Strong inventory. Amen. I didn't print a whole bunch of these out because I also want to, you know, save paper. However, I will be posting this on the website for whoever wants to download it. On the front, you can actually write down what are your weights and sin. In the back are the questions that you just saw on the screen. So you can write them down and have them in a place where you can actually see it. And you can actually go back and say, you know what? I've crossed off that weight. I've crossed off that sin. And it's a marker to know where you are first and how you will get there. We are deliberate. We will be intentional and consistent in getting this thing done. And so it's a marker to know where we are, where we're going, and it is a means that with the people that you have been praying for and they've been praying for you, we can actually celebrate the things that God is actually tangibly doing in your life. So I do invite you to download it, or if you have your own method, please do that, journal it as well. We have to be intentional and consistent about this thing. No more we would just have it in our minds and just willy-nilly, we'll get there when we get there. No. We are going to have a plan in how we're going to get there. Amen? All right. I want to end this the same way I began with Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I've told you that this has been my meditation over the last 6 or so months. And one thing that has helped me through that was this quote. I heard it before this, and it just stuck with me. My brother Rob, he's a huge sports enthusiast, and I was just in his room, and we were just chatting it up or whatnot, and he was watching this thing on Aeneas Williams. He is a NFL Hall of Famer. And they had a clip of him during his Hall of Fame commencement speech. And he said this, and it just stuck with me. He said, "Begin with the end in mind and die empty. Begin with the end in mind and die empty." And so that's what this all has been about. We will begin with the end in mind. What is the forest that God has placed within you? What does the oak tree that God has, what is the vision God has put in you? Let's put it plain. What is the vision that God has placed within you? Begin with that. Begin with that passion that God has given you to be, do, and go. What is that thing? Begin with the end in mind. And what's the second part? And die empty. I will give everything I've got to get to the end that God has placed in my mind through his power and his strength. That list we had up there, I will not stop until that entire weight and sin is empty. I won't stop until when my life is over. Everyone that knew me would say, "That man, he began with the end in mind and he died empty. He gave everything he had for the mission that God has placed within them." And you know what? I know I'm not the only one that God has put a mission in. So what it looks for Tyler looks different from ML. What it looks like for Angela will look different from Braydon. What it looks for Bill will look different from you. But everybody has an end in mind. That ultimate end is what? To make more disciple makers for Jesus Christ. And so if you resolve today that no more weight and sin will have power in my life, if you resolve today that the thing God has put in me, I am willing to lay my life for, I am willing to give everything I've got to reach that, despite what may be going on, if you resolve today that I will finish strong, I want y'all to do this. Don't do it if you're not serious. Don't do it if just because you want to be part of the crowd. Don't do it because it looks cool, but do it because it has firmly been planted in your heart. I will reach the end that God has placed within me. If you resolve today that I will finish strong, praise the name of the Lord. I will finish strong. And so I invite you to finish strong with me. Harvest invites you to finish strong in its mission to make more disciple makers for Jesus Christ, Christ himself invites you to finish strong. Amen.